Are you playing Tool this week?
No, I'm not playing Tool this week. Next week, maybe.
Okay. I know what this is. It's the Ultimate Warrior theme song.
No. Facts 27. Cue up headshot for later. Is that ready?
Ooh.
We'll need it. We'll need it twice.
Okay.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on?
I know that
that song got me pumped. I was like, hell yeah!
I saw pumped. Not the Ultimate Warrior theme song.
No, it wasn't.
As Mike thought.
It wasn't.
So, gonna have to off the bat. However, they did used to use it in ECW hype videos. So this is a wrestling
connection. Yeah, I do remember that from wrestling. That's how I knew it. And Ultimate Warrior was in the ECW for a little bit.
Well, that is not true.
They call him something else.
He was Ultimate Warrior was never in ECW, so.
He was Supreme Master.
Ultimate Warrior was never in ECW, and if he was, he would go by the name Warrior because he legally changed his name to Warrior.
Really?
That's why he was allowed to use the name Warrior in WCW.
I told you he was in...
I said WCW. You said ECW.
I never knew he went to WCW.
Yeah, he had a rematch with Hogan at Halloween Havoc 98, which is generally considered one of the worst matches of all time. It's pretty bad.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Just lame, nothing?
Well, they're both very old, and then there was a fireball spot that they really fucked up, and just in general, it's not a good match.
They just clotheslined each other and big booted the
yeah,
whole time.
Yeah, it was kind of, I mean, neither of them are good wrestlers in a technical sense.
True.
But they were both so charismatic and so over that it didn't matter. That match they had at WrestleMania, I want to say 8.
That was sweet.
I want to say 8. That is, even though they're both terrible wrestlers, stands up as a pretty good match.
Yeah.
Even today, if you watch it now. Just yeah. The crowd's so into it.
Yeah.
It's those same guys after the crowd has stopped giving a fuck about them.
Oh.
At about 10 years or so. Maybe not quite that much. I'm not sure how long it was. And then they did a spot where Hogan is supposed to hit Ultimate Warrior with a fireball. But he's fucking around with the flash paper. And it just sort of blows up in his hand.
Oh, no.
And then Warrior sells it anyway.
I like that.
You've never seen this? Way. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of a classic bad wrestling match.
I'm going to look it up later.
Yeah, the whole thing's on YouTube, I'm pretty sure.
Halloween Havoc, huh?
Halloween Havoc 98.
I'll find it. Cool.
And actually, the main event of that show, DDP versus Goldberg, which was actually pretty good.
DDP's. I liked him.
They ran out of time on the pay-per-view, and they cut that off right at the beginning of the match. So everyone who bought the pay-per-view...
That's so fucking retarded.
Saw Hogan and War. It's a really bad pay-per-view in general.
Like, did they refund people?
They aired the match on Nitro for free the next day.
Oh,
I don't think they refunded anyone.
I paid $50 and now I could have watched it free the next day.
They were only 30 back then.
Still.
Actually, you've heard about the WWE Network?
High school
doing now?
Kids, that's a lot of money too.
The WWE Network?
What about it?
$10 a month. Every pay-per-view, including WrestleMania. You get on-demand access to every pay-per-view ever. WCW, ECW, WWF.
No.
It's original programming. It's like streaming. It's like a Netflix thing. For so you can watch it on a phone or on your computer, $10 a month. That right there.
That's worth it, dude.
A pay-per-view is like 40. It's like an HD pay-per-view.
You're nuts if you wouldn't do that.
You have to get 6 months in advance. So that's $60 down.
Who cares? For
6 months. But that's WrestleMania alone is 6 months.
Exactly.
If you're going to get WrestleMania anyway, you might as well get this and get everything else.
So $120 a year, I could watch any wrestling event ever?
Every pay-per-view. If you wanted to do that now, it would be like 600-some bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
That's awesome, man.
Our music this week was Hey Man, Nice Shot by Filter, written by Richard Patrick of Filter. The first single off the 1995 debut album, Short Bus. Song is about our bud Dwyer, which we will discuss later in the show. He's the subject of one of my facts. Speculation at the time was that it was written about Kurt Cobain. However, the song was written in 1991. It reached number 10 on Billboard's Modern Rock Charts for 1995. Mike, talk about the Fruity Brothers.
Today we are sampling a new Oreo, lemon.
It's pretty good.
Lemon Oreos are pretty tasty.
It's pretty good.
All right.
I'm on board with it. We got one email. It's not a correction email, but it is the only email we got, so I'm going to read it anyway.
That's weird.
It's from Jess Polanco.
Polanco?
Yes. Holy hell, it starts. I don't know why. She seems excited. Hey guys, new fan to the show, just found out when searching facts. From Australia, international acclaim. Not that it's relevant, but hey, we get internet down here in the desert. Absolutely laughed my head off listening to you guys. Eric, you're a sarcastic asshole, and I love it. Just wanted to say, so glad I found your podcast. Love the complete chaos of the show. The eating while talking, and you both interacting, bickering is amazing. I wish more people were like you both. Anyway, love the show. Jessica, XOXO, that means hugs and kisses.
And she likes you.
Yes. So thank you, Jess. Glad you
enjoyed
the show.
Thanks, Jessica. I'm glad you like my friend.
P.S. Just heard you explain Momoko isn't real. Ha 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 ha. Oh, shit.
Oh.
So.
Well, she is real.
Okay, well.
Look back to episode 12, I believe. You Factspodcast.com. You can listen to all our shows. And you could see the history. I think it begins on 12. And you could see the history of Momoko. From 12 on up, and you could see it. She is real.
Now, you can see the episode where your girlfriend Terry called in pretending to be Momoko, and you didn't either. You didn't properly brief her on
Let's
the Momoko backstory
right
that had already
now.
Been established, or you had brief her and she just got nervous or something. I don't know what happened. Anyway, she didn't know what was going
I didn't
on.
Brief Terry first of all. If I did, if she has a memory like an elephant,
okay,
she can remember anything. She would have. She could
she remember
actually,
9/11.
Who can forget?
No one can.
But anyways, she would have done good to pretend like Momoko if I would
okay,
have
okay. Well,
her
she
to.
Did pretend to be Momoko when it did not go
she
well.
She didn't. God, the real Momoko's a Asian.
Okay.
She doesn't know. She doesn't have a good memory because she's been beaten her whole life.
There is
she was
no
in the
real
slave
Momoko,
trade.
So I feel like
her
you
brains
need to.
Are scrambled like eggs. Poor kid.
You created
she's had
a very,
rough, man.
Very tragic backstory for this fictional girlfriend of yours.
She's been.
You've
in
explained
the sex
why she's broken
trade.
Enough to date you. So congratulations.
I made her feel good. I made her laugh. Okay.
Never existed. Moving
whatever,
on.
Dude, whatever.
There's
you
some
never
corrections
existed.
To get to some clarifications.
You never existed, Eric.
I am existing. I'm here right now. So yeah. Proof of that, you're right.
Don't mind. This is probably just a dream anyways.
I wish I could wake up from this horrible nightmare of doing this podcast with you every week.
Yeah.
A few corrections to get to. Mike said lives last week. Lifes, he said. Lifes, the plural of life is lives with a V. He
I
said,
never said lives.
He said lifes, L-I-F-E-S,
when?
Lifes. Or it was early in the show.
Referring to what?
I don't remember. I remember I heard it and I wrote it down.
It's ridiculous, Eric.
Mike also said there's more than one way to skin a cow. While technically accurate, I think the idiom he was searching for was there's more than one way to skin a cat. This one is my fuck up. I said baby aspirin wasn't really aspirin. Someone told me that at some point. I never really looked into it. I was mistaken, though. What is aspirin? It's just a smaller dose.
Right.
It's 81 milligrams as opposed to 325 milligrams.
I knew that, too, and I didn't want to...
In adult aspirin.
I know so much, Eric. I just don't want to...
If you take daily aspirin for heart health, which some doctors recommend, it's recommended you take the lower baby aspirin dose.
Yeah.
A few clarifications. I mentioned the black rhinoceros was recently declared extinct.
Right.
To clarify, it's the western black rhinoceros was declared extinct by the International Union for Conservation of Nature on November 10th, 2011. You have to slurp like that.
It's hot.
I'm also drinking hot coffee, and I'm not slurping. See, I just...
Like this?
Yeah, but you seem like you're blowing into it for some reason.
That?
Stop. Okay.
Tastes good.
So the western black rhinoceros is a subspecies of black rhinoceros. Black rhinos in general are not extinct but considered critically endangered. It was declared extinct, the western black rhinoceros, on November 10th, 2011. I said recently. That's slightly over 2 years ago. I guess we can pick hairs about whether or not that's recently, but I just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah.
Wedding soup is Italian. That explains why it's a regional thing. There's less Italian immigrants in an area. They're not going to have wedding soup. The name is a mistranslation of minestra maritata, meaning married soup. Married soup because green vegetables and meats go well together. Clarification number three. Paul Hogan's character in Crocodile Dundee's name was Mick Dundee. There was some... You mentioned... When I was talking about Australian Prime Minister Harold Holt, you, for some reason... weren't paying attention to me, and you thought his name was Jimmy McDundee. Do you remember that happening?
Yeah.
Okay. So I thought maybe that was Crocodile Dundee's real name in the movie, but it was Mick Dundee. The name of the character, Mick Crocodile Dundee.
Like, the difference between Irish and Scottish?
What?
Did you know if somebody's Mick, it's Irish, and if they're Mac, it's Scottish?
I didn't know that, yes.
I didn't?
Yeah.
I disrespected my girlfriend, because her last name begins with Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And I said something on the line, you know, like, you dirty Mick,
yeah,
or something. And she said, you know, I'm not Irish, I'm Scottish, you asshole. So, for the record...
let's be honest.
If you don't want to offend somebody...
Scottish, Irish, pretty much the same thing. It's like Greeks and Italians.
Hmm.
You got real pissy with me when I was discussing open heart massage.
Yeah.
You said that's a doctor would never do that. You'd get an infection.
Totally. You're not going to live through a heart massage.
The name of the procedure technically is open chest cardiac massage. It is an emergency procedure done at last resort. It's done in conjunction also with administration of drugs directly into the heart or vein.
Oh, gosh.
Or the use of direct electrical defibrillation.
Yeah.
The heart is compressed with one or both hands. At a rate of 60 to 70 times a minute. It's usually done on a patient in the operating room whose chest is already open. In emergency situations, like we discussed with Harry Einstein, the incision is made between the fifth and sixth ribs on the side of the chest, and then the ribs are spread apart. So they do actually reach their hands into the chest cavity.
Oh, God.
But like I said, it's an emergency procedure. They were doctors. I'm assuming they had gloves or maybe some sort of... scrub, and even then, it's like I said, it's an emergency last minute thing to just keep your heart going.
Yeah.
If they can deal with any risk of infection after the fact.
Yeah.
You also got all pissy with me about Bruce Lee's death. Bruce Lee died on July 20th, 1973.
Can I correct myself right now?
Okay.
Because I studied it and realized who really killed him. Do you know who it was? Who killed Bruce Lee?
No one killed him.
Yes, it was. It was the Kung Fu Masters because he was revealing his moves to the West. Stop. He was teaching Americans the kung fu art. Like even to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He did teach to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's a fact.
Okay, they were both in the movie Game of Death.
He was a pupil.
He taught him some moves.
He was a pupil of Bruce Lee. Big time. Big time. Look it up.
They were in that movie together.
No. They were, but also they were friends. That's why he put them in the movie.
They were boys, yeah. I'm sure they were boys.
He trained with them.
I don't know the extent to which Kareem Abdul-Jabbar trained with Bruce Lee.
He was a black belt.
He was a black guy.
Black man, black belt. He had it all. All
right.
He was blacker than night, okay, brother.
I don't know the extent of which.
All around. Awesome.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He was a black belt.
Martial arts training with Bruce Lee. I'm
telling you, it's a fact. Why aren't you believing me? This time I'm not lying. Because, not that I ever lie, Eric.
Because sometimes you do. You lie. You say things that aren't true.
I don't lie for attention ever, Eric.
So I'm going to assume you're talking shit until I look it up next week.
Don't waste your time. Just believe me this time, because it's real.
Bruce Lee died of the cerebral edema caused by an allergic reaction to Equigesic, a painkiller containing aspirin and meprobamate, which is a muscle relaxer. Doctors officially ruled it death by misadventure. He took Equigesic for a headache, laid down, couldn't be woken. His brain had swollen 13%, they found.
Ugh.
From its original size.
Trauma.
He had also collapsed 2 months earlier, May 10th, 1973. Taken to a hospital and diagnosed with cerebral edema. However, he did not take Equigesic on that occasion.
God, he was so young.
He was 32, yeah. Owen Hart died May 29th, 1999 in Kansas City, Missouri.
How old was Owen Hart?
I believe he was 34. He was born in 65, died in 99.
That's weird. Jesus was, what, 33?
To the best that we can tell.
So, it's 32. So we got...
Don't find a pattern here.
Bad things come in threes. Don't Bruce find Lee, Jesus, Owen Hart. Who's next?
Okay, what you're
That's
doing...
That's all I want to know. You know?
Those...
32, 30... There's 32,
Those three deaths
34.
Are almost 2,000 years apart.
That's what I'm
from
saying.
From each other.
Who's on the next 1,000th?
Everyone who's alive now.
So who's it going to be?
All of us. Everyone who's alive now will be dead in 1,000 years.
It's a
That's assuming we don't transfer
every 11
our
years
into some sort of machine, which is likely.
Is that what you said? Every 11? So there's Jesus.
What?
Well, he was like 2,000 years. And then came Bruce Lee. So it's 33, 32, 34. Now it's going to be a 31-year-old because you go back. You see what I mean? You start at 33. You go down to 32, up to 34. Wait, listen,
you done?
Real quick. It's going to be a famous 31-year-old.
I don't know, what the fuck are you talking
listen,
about?
Wait, this is true.
You picked three people in
listen
history.
Listen to my prediction.
Who happened to die in their 30s.
It's a
You
prediction.
Know how many people die in their 30s? Someone 30, a 30-year-old
Somebody
person
very famous
day.
That's 31 years old is going to die this week.
A man in
We're
his 30s.
We're going to see on the news this week.
Dies every
Mark
day.
Mark my words.
A man, woman,
no,
someone in their
famous.
30s.
Famous. Somebody 31 years old.
This week? Why this week?
This happened for a reason.
None of these things happen for a reason.
Everything happens for a reason.
No!
And next,
that's not true either.
Next year, somebody
Almost
famous
nothing
35-year-old is going to die.
I will even say nothing happens for a reason, let alone everything.
Everything
that's
happens
That's the most
for
bullshit thing that people say to because when something
true.
Tragic happens and they want to reassure themselves that right. it's all going to be okay, they say, oh, this happened for a reason.
Why
everything
else did it happen,
reason.
Eric?
No, for no reason at all, because things happen and then things happen because of that.
For a reason.
No. No reason. Nothing happens for a reason.
It does. Why did I meet you ever?
I don't know,
but show
I regret that day.
This was the reason. Do you get it?
I regret the day you walked into my life. Every day you walk into my house, I regret that you walked into my life.
Why do you smile?
Alright, here's the thing with Owen Hart.
Why did you smile when you saw the lemon Oreos?
I like it when you bring me food.
Okay.
Mike was insistent last week that he watched Owen Hart die on pay-per-view. And I told him, because one, I watched it also, and two, I remember the facts of the situation, that they didn't air it. And it became just a lot of us yelling at each other, yo, he didn't, yes, I did, no, you didn't,
so
yes,
happened?
I did. I'm telling you right now. Owen Hart died May 23rd, 1999 in Kansas City, Missouri at the Kemper Arena.
Yeah.
He was performing the character of the Blue Blazer. It was like kind of a goofy 80s superhero parody gimmick.
Yeah.
The Blue Blazer was supposed to get lowered from a harness from the ceiling of the arena to slightly above the ring, get caught in his harness, and then release himself and fall flat on his face. The stunt required a quick release mechanism, which accidentally triggered speculation as Owen was kind of fucking around with his costume. He had a cape on, you know, he was trying to get comfortable.
It's all tangled.
Accidentally triggered the early release mechanism, dropped Owen 78 feet into the ring. He hit the top rope, chest first, about a foot from the turnbuckle, bouncing him into the ring, almost hit referee Jimmy Corderas. Came feet away. Also, Max Mini, the midget wrestler, was supposed to be strapped to the front of Owen as like a little mini Blue Blazer. but Owen put the kibosh on that, so saved his life as well. The event was not broadcast on television. A pre-taped vignette, a backstage interview with Blue Blazer, was airing during the fall. The camera panned the crowd while medical personnel worked on Owen in the ring. The official cause of death was internal bleeding from blunt force trauma. They continued the show, had a bunch of other matches. They never replayed the pay-per-view. They used to do a replay on Tuesday night, didn't do that. Never released on home video. There are some bootlegs floating around. The Hart family later sued the WWF, settling for $18 million. Well, that covers the corrections, clarifications.
Poor Owen. Owen was the coolest Hart.
Owen was a good dude. A lot better than Bruce.
How many Harts are there?
There's a bunch. I don't know.
I didn't know. I can't tell you offhand how many. I just know Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Yeah. He's the brother-in-law. He married one of the sisters.
Really?
Yeah.
I really like him, man. He was awesome. You don't like Jim the Anvil Neidhart?
I liked him. Yeah. I met him a few times. He's a nice guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Here's a story about Jim Neidhart. They went to pick him up at the airport. He's doing a show for us.
You picked him up?
I didn't pick him up. Somewhere all right. All right. And he had some rat, remember, waiting to meet him at the airport, who like claimed she was his manager. It's just some rat he was fucking. And then as soon as this rat gets a hold of him, we're not going to see him all weekend. So it's like Greg Iron had to run interference between Jim Neidhart and his rat. It was a whole thing. He was nice to me, though. All right.
Is he a big dude?
He's big. I don't
know. How tall?
6'2", maybe?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's like, you know. Factspodcastcorrections@gmail.com. If you hear anything correct throughout the show.
I thought Jim Duggan wasn't that tall.
He's a big guy. He's probably about 6'2", also. I met him as well.
I thought he was like as tall as me, like about 5'11".
Fuck no, no. He's a big guy. He's big, too. He's like burly.
Yeah, he was.
He's still pretty good shape, too, for an old guy.
Big boned. Yeah, he seemed all right.
No, he's a good dude. All right. Well.
My dad should have been a professional wrestler, man.
Your dad?
6'5". He was a bodybuilder, too.
Your dad, really?
He's still in good shape.
Why didn't he do something with his life?
Oh, he's not into the fame.
Is that what it is?
No, I'm serious. Like, he's really a humble,
Here's what I assume. I think he had a child he didn't want.
No, no, no.
And then just ruined his life from that point on.
No, he's a family man type guy.
Okay.
He really is. Hardcore dude. Steelworker. Just a good guy. He just, you know, he's not into that stuff.
Well, let's get to facts, shall we? I'll go first this week. This is one I didn't get to last week. Actually, The fact I didn't get to last week has become my first two facts. Because they're really about the same thing. But there's enough information there that's different enough where I can present them separately. It's kind of a theme with all my facts today. So.
Okay.
You ever heard of a woman named Christine Chubbuck? Probably because I told you about her last week after the show.
Never heard of her.
Okay. Well, you should have because I mentioned it last week. Mm-hmm. She's born in Hudson, Ohio. So a local gal. Mm. In 1944. Worked in public television in Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Canton. And she moved to Sarasota, Florida. Network WXLT, now WWSB, an ABC affiliate. She hosted the community affairs talk program Suncoast Digest, 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings.
Ooh.
Suffered from depression all her life.
Ugh.
Attempted to overdose in 1970.
Mm.
Had an unsuccessful love life. Very lonely. She was apparently a virgin at the age of 30.
Ugh.
And had an unrequited crush on a coworker.
Was she pretty?
I've never seen her. I've never seen a picture of her.
I'd like to know if she's pretty or not.
I've never seen a picture of her.
It'd be interesting to know, like, 30 years old and a virgin, like, something's wrong. Right?
Yeah, I've never seen a picture. If she's pretty enough to be on in the news.
Yeah, those girls are all ooh, waka waka.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Just, like, news pretty, you know?
Yeah.
She was probably news pretty. And even then, they shoved her off on the Sunday mornings at 9. She was as good looking as Odea Duma.
Oh, was she just a reporter or the newscaster?
She was the newscaster. She was like an anchor.
Okay. Well, I don't know. You got to be strong to be an anchor.
No, she wasn't.
Maybe someday I'll be an anchor, man. Like when I'm older. Because you can't like be a young one. It's bullshit, you know? Did you ever notice that? You never see a nice, handsome young man? They're always older. Like 50s, 60s.
You have
60.
To work their way up through... I think
not
older
the girls
people.
Though. The girls slide right in.
Yeah,
it's bullshit.
You ever watch Fox and Friends on the weekend?
Fox, no. Is that where they sit around, kind of like a half round table?
Yeah.
Talk.
The blonde in the middle there, Anna Koyman.
Yeah,
the legs on that broad.
Yeah.
Here's a favor for all the viewers. You can go on YouTube, type in Anna Koyman legs, and there's gonna be a video like a close up with the other the two chodes on the side of her kind of cut out.
Yeah.
Just watch that for about 6 minutes. You won't need all 6 minutes. Tell him Eric Cribbley sent you. All right. I'm burying the lead with this Christine Chubbuck story. Like, do you know where this is going? You should. I told you about it last week.
I think so.
Okay.
Is this where it's going?
Yes, Michael.
Okay.
3 weeks before her death, she asked a news director if she could do a piece on suicide. She met with the local sheriff's department to discuss effective suicide methods.
No.
A week before her death, she told the news editor that she'd bought a gun and joked about killing herself on air.
What the f... She talked about it on air?
She said she joked with her news editor about killing herself on air.
That's so hardcore.
It was like, ho-ho, that's silly. 3 days before her suicide, she had an argument with the news director when he cut one of her stories to cover a shootout instead. That brings us to the morning of July 15th, 1974. It was Sunday morning for her morning digest program. She told her staff she would open the show with a newscast, which is something she had never done before. Usually she went right to the interview. She covered three news stories and then the local restaurant shooting. 8 minutes into the program, she said the following. In keeping with Channel 40's policy of bringing you the latest in blood and guts and in living color, you are going to see another first, attempted suicide. She then drew a .38 revolver and shot herself behind the right ear.
Oh.
She fell forward violently and the technical director quickly faded to black. The station ran a public service announcement and then a movie. The script she had been reading from included not only what she had just said, but a description of the shooting and a statement to be read by whoever took over the rest of the program. News director Mike Simmons is quoting as saying she had written something like, TV 40 news personality Christine Chubbuck shot herself in a live broadcast this morning on a Channel 40 talk program. She was rushed to Sarasota Memorial Hospital, where she remains in critical condition. She was taken to Sarasota Memorial Hospital, pronounced dead 14 years later. When they announced her death later on the evening news, they actually read the script she had written, announcing her death. It's not on YouTube, unfortunately. The tape was seized as evidence and then later released to her family. Presumably they destroyed it, but maybe they kept it around. They watched it on Christmas. And it served in part for the inspiration for the 1976 film Network. So that is fact number one. You want to do the headshot thing again? Headshot. Don't put that away. We're going to... wasn't a machine gun. Okay, I regret telling you to just don't put the headshot away, because we're going to talk about Bud Dwyer next. What if it was this one? She didn't shoot herself with a laser, Michael. It's ridiculous.
Okay. I got a little hint for you.
Yes. Your fact is about cows? Or horses? Farms? A zoo? You got me lost
now. One more sound. Damn it.
What?
Yep. All right. The top 10 animals that fart.
Don't all animals fart?
These 10 fart the most.
How would you even quantify something like that?
Dead serious.
How would you know? How would you measure how much certain animals...
Studies have shown.
What does that mean?
All right, number one are cows.
I've heard that bovine gases are a contributing factor.
And I do a one-liner after each one.
Oh, fantastic.
Cows. Hey, what else are they going to do? They eat, fart, and sleep. Number two, elephants. Don't ever stand behind an elephant in line. Their butts are at our face level. Number three, Labradors and Retrievers.
Why that, not dogs? Why a specific breed of dogs?
Yeah, dog farts are the worst, but also the funniest ones to laugh at. Okay. How about this one? Sheep. Bah.
Why was...
Okay, how about this? Zebras. Good thing they don't wear underwear. They might have stripes there, too.
That was clever.
Camels. They do more than just spit. They're obnoxious from the other end, too. Okay, this is crazy. Termites.
You've seen this? You heard about this? How does a termite fart?
These little insects not only chew away your house, but they release more methane than cows do. Holy farts.
Hold on. Did you just think of
vegetarian humans? congratulations on not eating meat for 5 years, and your butt stinks.
I do know a vegetarian who has irritable bowel syndrome. I don't know if those two things are related. I know she's both vegetarian and she has irritable bowel syndrome.
Who?
A comic I know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Kristen
Gerwood's her name.
Huh. I think a lot of girls are vegetarian. And they have...
men don't do it.
And they, what do you call... a lot of girls are vegetarian, and a lot of them have bowel problems. Farting, and, you know. Non-vegetarian...
You're basing that on what I just told you.
No, I know.
Don't pretend like you've heard that before.
All the girls I date, the last few girlfriends have all almost been vegetarians.
They fart a lot?
No. So I can't say that.
Yeah, okay, exactly. I don't know if there's a correlation there. I don't know. I don't think... What is... I don't know where you got this list from. Is it the amount of methane they produce? Is that the idea? I want to know how they measured it.
I don't know what...
I think you thought of fart one-liners and then compiled a list of animals that went with the jokes.
No, they're no. Non-vegetarian animals.
Where'd you get this from?
Okay, well, maybe stink just a tad more than me. I don't get that one-liner.
You didn't even write the one-liners.
No, I didn't. Because mine, I think, would have been funnier. Gerbils.
Wait, you need to stop. You're stealing content for this show. You got the calendar.
Listen,
where did you get this from?
Listen, wait, let me do gerbils. Gerbils.
It's not even your joke.
There's a Richard Gere joke in here somewhere. Ah, let's not go there like the gerbil did.
Okay.
Get it?
I get it. Yeah, that's not true about.
Did you ever know that?
That's not true about Richard Gere, by the way. That's just a rumor. I've looked it up before. It's not. It didn't happen. I looked it up on
Snopes. Did you know Jamie Lee Curtis is a hermaphrodite?
That's not true either.
There's a lot you don't know about Hollywood.
I know both those things.
Some people call it Hollywood.
I know that they're not true.
When you think about it, maybe it should be called Hollywood.
Don't say Hollywood. God damn it. Michael.
How did you know I was going to say that?
Because it's hack shit. Why are you stealing other people's jokes?
Well, we had a talk.
Where did you get this list?
Eric, we had a talk before. It's not stealing if I deliver it differently, right?
That's not true.
It is. It is true. It's not stealing because, look, about this might say, these insects not only chew away your house, but they release more methane than cows do. Holy farts. I'm saying it different.
That's the joke? That's not even a joke.
Look at these one-liners. They're bad.
You fucking, where'd you get this list from?
I don't know. I think it said fart one-liners or something.
What? So, fart one-liners?
Oh, that's my... That's
next one's about Tourette's syndrome. That'll be fun.
Yeah, please.
What's it's so like funny? 8 pages of shit about Tourette's syndrome that he didn't, he hasn't read yet.
Eric.
This is what's gonna happen.
I already know.
Next in the show. Mike has, I'm gonna count the fucking
don't
pages here.
Blow hold on, my hold on. Fact. I'm not blowing yours.
One. The next one's Bud Dwyer. Everyone's known that for a week. One.
Eric, I started
two,
a new job. Give me a break, okay? This
three,
week, please.
Four.
It's hard.
Five.
My life isn't easy anymore.
Six. Okay, it's only 6 pages of Tourette's syndrome that he has not read. He's
I know.
Printed this.
No, I just used it for. I know what I'm
he's
doing.
He's printed this up from. And he's gonna scan through it for the first time on the air and pick out things that he finds interesting, and we have to listen to that. So here, take that back.
Do you know anybody with a legitimate fart?
Of course.
Fart. Not Tourette's, but fart problems.
Brittany farts a lot.
Why do girls... Is she vegetarian or not?
Fuck no.
Mm. Does she like steak?
She's very difficult.
Hot dogs, probably, right?
Yeah, king of hot dogs.
Why
we'll
do
go
girls,
to the hot dog shop. Listen to this horse
why do
shit.
Girl, and wait, she gets with ketchup only?
Just ketchup.
Thank you.
Why the fuck would you do that?
Identical to my ex.
It's a Sugardale hot dog.
Yeah.
With on like a Schwabel's bun. With Heinz ketchup.
We could do that at
we
home.
We can have that at home.
For a fraction of the
fuck
cost.
Yes. We gotta drive all the way to goddamn Warren through a war zone.
Yeah.
At least get some chili on the motherfucker.
Some kraut, anything. Just that nasty cheese that globs up in a matter of a minute and turns into jelly.
I like the cheese myself. I get cheddar and chili.
Ooh,
but that's me.
God, Eric. Eric, think about that cheese, what it's doing to your intestine.
I'm not worried about it.
Ugh. Don't your stomach hurt after eating a couple of them?
Of course it does.
Mm.
Hey, let's talk about R. Bud Dwyer.
Oof.
R stood for Robert? I'll have to get back to you on that.
I don't know.
Let's just call him Bud.
Yeah, that's what everybody else called him.
He was a Pennsylvania politician. He served the Pennsylvania House of Representatives from 1965 to 1970. By the way, he's from Meadville. It's another local guy. Wasn't born there, but it's where he lived.
Is that Amish country?
I don't know, maybe.
Sounds like it.
You know where Meadville is?
No, I don't.
It's kind of south of Erie. Not far from us. He was also Pennsylvania State Senator from 1971 to 1981 and the Treasurer of Pennsylvania from 1981 to his death in 1987. His death, you say? Mm-hmm. Well,
it was crazy, man.
That's a little bit of background. In the 1980s, Pennsylvania state employees had overpaid millions of dollars in FICA taxes. That's Federal Insurance Contribution Act taxes. So they had got refunds. So the state solicited bids from accounting firms to determine how much a refund they would get. The $4.6 million contract was awarded to California-based Computer Technology Associates, owned by John Torcato Jr., a native of Harrisburg. Shortly after the contract was awarded, Governor Dick Thornburgh received an anonymous memo detailing allegations of bribery. The U.S. attorneys investigated. They charged Bud Dwyer with receiving kickbacks worth $300,000 in exchange for steering the contract towards CTA. Mm. Also indicted Torquato. It's T-O-R-Q-U-A-T-O. So it's either Torcato or Torquato. He's the guy who owns CTA. They inducted Torquato, his wife, his attorney, William Smith, and former state Republican Party chairman Bob Asher. The Torcatos and Smith accepted deals, pleading guilty, and testifying for the government against Asher and Dwyer in exchange for lighter sentences. This part here is important. William Smith, the attorney for the Torcatos, later admitted in a 2010 documentary. The documentary is called Honest Man, The Life of R. Bud Dwyer. It's available on YouTube. Testified that he had lied under oath.
Ugh.
Because Bud Dwyer maintained his innocence throughout the trial.
Oh.
He was offered a deal, as a matter of fact. He would be convicted of one single charge of bribery, receiving a max 5-year sentence, resign from office, and then fully cooperate with a government investigation. He refused and went to full trial. He was convicted of accepting bribes on December 18th, 1986, maintaining his innocence throughout. He was allowed to continue serving as state treasurer until his sentencing on January 23rd, 1987. Faced up to 55 years in prison and a $300,000 fine. Mm. His co-defendant, Bob Asher, was sentenced to 1 year in jail. Dwyer called a press conference the day before his sentencing on January 22nd, 1987. Reporters gathered, assuming that he would be announcing his resignation. You getting it ready?
Kind of.
All right. Dwyer appeared nervous and agitated. He read from a prepared text, which was described as a rambling polemic about the criminal justice system, professing his innocence throughout. Ugh. Stopped reading with a paragraph left on the last page. No. That's it, everybody.
Look. I was going to do this.
No.
Your speaker is. I promise you.
You know I've been wanting to do this Bud Dwyer thing for a week now. And right when I'm getting to the good part,
yeah.
You pick up your phone, you're just going to start binding me.
I promise you, I've said this, Mike, I don't want to do this. Eric, there's no vine. I swear to God, I'm religious. When I swear to God, I'm telling you the truth. Please, believe
me. Why'd you point the phone at me?
I didn't. I went like this.
That's what pointing a phone at me
is. Look, I swear to God, this is where the speakers are in my phone. That was coming here for the sound effect. I'm dead serious. It may look like a vine.
Point your phone that way.
Like this?
No. Like not
this.
At me.
How about like this? Or like this so you could even see it.
I swear, if a vine pops up later.
There is no vine. If it is, hey.
I'll see it. I'll see it on the internet.
End the show.
That'll be the last episode of Facts, and I hope you're aware of that because I'm serious. I am serious right now when I'm telling you. That'll be the end of Facts.
I believe you.
What's more important? Continuing to do the show or fucking vining it?
Not vine.
That
fuck vine. Please believe me. That's all. Please. Do you believe me?
I don't believe you.
I'm not a liar. Not when I don't want to be. I don't want to lie to you.
Dwyer stopped. I fucking swear to Christ.
This is not vine.
All right. Dwyer stopped reading with a paragraph left on the last page. He had copies of the last page to hand out. He called his staffers over, gave them three envelopes. One contained a suicide note addressed to his wife. Second contained an Oregon donor card, and the third contained a letter to recently sworn-in Pennsylvania Governor Bob Casey. Dwyer then removed a .357 Magnum revolver from a manila envelope, saying to the crowd, "Please, please leave the room if this will affect you." He was stammering. He was nervous. He told them to stand back. People tried to come at him, tried to get the gun from him. He said, don't, this will hurt someone. Put the gun in his mouth, pull the trigger, and collapse to the floor. That's not the right sound. That's not the right sound effect.
Fuck. Excuse my... Poop!
What the fuck?
That's
kind of
good. That laughing was weird. I can't find that. Oh.
There we go. But at this point, it doesn't matter. Pull the trigger, collapsed on the floor as blood gushed from his nose, mouth, and the exit wound on top of his head. He died instantly, however, was not pronounced dead until paramedics arrived at 11:31 a.m. Yes, it is on YouTube, and yes, I will be posting it to the facts page and Twitter.
Oh, don't do that.
Oh, I absolutely am. Why wouldn't I? I'm talking about it.
Like a little kid might that listens to our
show. You know what the Bud Dwyer video is.
But little kids don't.
No, little kids aren't going to the fucking page. Everyone's got to see Bud Dwyer shoot himself at some point. I saw it when I was 15 or so.
We watched in college, man. I was like, oh. Wow.
Yeah. It's something you need to see.
But do you know...
Well, I'm putting it on the page, so I don't...
Did you ever
click
watch
on it or don't.
I
don't give a shit.
Faces of Death movies?
Yeah, it was on one of those. It was actually on Traces of Death.
I was just going to say, there was also Traces of Death.
Yeah, the Bud Dwyer video was on Traces
of Death. And there's one called... It was... Dude, it was the cheesiest one ever. It's called Inhumane.
A lot of those murder scenes in those are fake. They're not real.
Inhumane or...
Not real murders.
Atrocities, something, but it was weird. It showed, like, this old man in a diaper, and he was, like, crazy. These were, like, real police footage. You could see clearly.
Yeah.
And he had a shotgun. You know, it's from a little bit of a distance, but you could see. It was, like, from here across the street.
Mm.
We're watching, and it's like, put the gun down, put the gun down. It was an old man in like, an underwear, loose, but it was, like, a diaper almost, and he was, like, really... disheveled, and he didn't know what's going on. He just blew his head off. He just put under his chin and just goes boom with a shotgun. It looked like, you know, when you...
Like Gallagher and a melon, right? Yeah.
Boom. I was like, what the fuck? And then it said, this guy's voice. Goes, that's... It was like the commentator of it. It was really kind of funny. And he's like, that was inhumane or something. And he goes, next. I got to talk to my friend Seth to see what it was. But look, he goes, this is what happens when you rape a woman in a Somalian village. Dude, these jungle guys held down this dude. I'm dead serious. We got to find this.
By jungle guys, you mean black people?
Nah, jungle men.
All right.
You know, yeah, they were black, but jungle guys.
But they lived in a village. They weren't bushmen.
Yeah, they were like...
Oh, they were...
Okay. Yeah, they had like those little grass skirts and stuff. Right. They're holding down this dude. And he's like...
And pineapple and coconut bras.
Like saying all this jumbo mumbo.
Yeah, yeah.
They hold him
probably
down.
Speaking Swahili.
They grab his like his dick.
Yeah.
They
Why'd you whisper
they
when you
pull
said
it and
dick?
Stretches out. I don't know.
Yeah.
They had like a... It looked like a fucking butter knife too, man.
Mm.
They grab his dick. And they're holding him down. You could tell it's real. And they're cutting it. And he's screaming bloody fucking murder, you know? But you could tell it was like either it wasn't very sharp or they're doing it slow, but whatever. But as they're doing it, like piss and blood just start coming out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just starts screaming more and more. Then like when he gets like, I don't know, there's probably like a quarter of his dick left. The dude just stops cutting and he just
yanks it
boom, and rips it off.
He's starting to
then the guy just passed out. Like right after he did that, he just passed out. Blood is coming out like a fucking pump. Mm. It's like bloom, bloom, bloom.
Traces of Death had the Bud Dwyer video, and then it had a bunch of sex change operations.
I saw that. Yeah,
and there was one where
they show it. They
show everything, but it sounds like I'm making it up, and maybe it was staged. But I swear. They take the dick off, and they walk over, and they hang it on a rack of, like, 20 dicks. It's just a rack of dicks. Like, they've had a lot of operations today. I don't know. Maybe they weren't all dicks. That's what stands out to me. Bud Dwyer blowing his brains out, and just the dick rack from the sex change operation.
I have honestly never seen that.
News stations.
They did do those, though. They did do the operations.
Yeah, they were
like... Cut the penis and split it, and I'm like, oh!
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Damn!
Now, news stations across Pennsylvania, it wasn't airing live. It was taped for the newscast later.
Oh, the Bud Dwyer thing didn't go live?
It didn't go live, but then they had the decision, do we air it or not? Because it was a big story. Everyone had footage of it. So WPVI in Philadelphia broadcast it in full on the 5 and 6 o'clock newscast.
See, that's so fucked up.
Without a warning to viewers, incidentally.
That's fucked up.
None of the, this might be disturbing, anything of that. A lot of stations froze the image just prior to the gunshot. Some continued to play the audio over the frozen image. Ugh. WPXI in Pittsburgh broadcast the footage in an early newscast, I would assume like the noon one.
Yeah.
And then declined to air it in the evening. Bud Dwyer died in office. So, his wife was able to collect full survivor benefits, totaling over $1.28 million. It was suggested that preserving the pension for his family, whose finances were ruined by legal expenses, may have been a motivating factor for his suicide. He again professed his innocence throughout. The one guy admitted he had perjured himself in the documentary. So it sounds like he was an innocent man. It's not unreasonable to draw that conclusion, I don't think. I guess we don't know all the details of the case, obviously.
You know that song Filter, you said they
yeah, the Hey Man, Nice Shot, which I played at the top of the hour. That's
you about, think about the
about
lyrics if they wrote it for him. It's like, I wish I could have met you. It's like, why? Like, it's, you know, it's like he's just a kind of, he wasn't anything special, right? Like, I wish I could have met Bud Dwyer.
I think the idea was that they admired that he took a stand like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I would have rather.
But there would be no reason to meet.
What's that girl saying that killed herself that you did?
Christine Chubbuck. Yeah, you probably could have laid her some good pipe and she would have been okay.
Making emo jokes and stuff at work. Yeah, hey, I just got to go. I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah. You probably could have gave her some good D and she'd still be around.
And she really did it. It's like, oh, that's really not funny.
Yeah, there's really no reason to meet Bud Dwyer because the only interesting thing about him is him blowing his brains out.
But I, now that you talked about him, I think he's an honorable guy.
I think he's a good guy.
I do.
He's buried in Meadville. So if you're fucking around the Meadville area,
I say fuck you to the people that set him up, you fucking assholes. You shouldn't have done that to him.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He didn't do anything to deserve that.
As far as we know, he might have did it. I mean, I don't know the details. Maybe he was just afraid of going to jail. Maybe he thought he'd get
for no reason. Exactly.
So.
You know.
It sounds like he was innocent. That's the conclusion innocent. I've drawn.
My prayers aren't.
Don't you're not doing the calendar thing again, you motherfucker.
This is not the calendar. This
you're holding pages from a calendar,
it's
man.
It's a game I made up, Eric.
You didn't make anything up.
It's a new game.
I'm going to start. I'm going to start auditioning new co-hosts for Facts. What? And I'm sorry I have to discuss this on the air, but I feel like you're not really contributing to the show anymore. You're not putting in original work.
Eric, wait! I got this great idea for a new segment. Guess what it's called.
What?
Stump the Grump.
What's dun, what is
dun,
that?
Dun.
Am I the Grump?
Stump the Grump.
But this is you.
You get
this is the third week in a row you've read off your calendar.
Somebody that's grump. I get to ask somebody that's grumpy a question. So I'm going to ask you this week. So one of these is bullshit. You have to tell me which one it is. Okay, this all put has that, to deal with the color pink.
I'm going
to
find that fucking calendar and I'm going to burn it.
This all
has We're not doing this all year.
Okay, we won't. Just this is a different game. It's called Stump the Grump. Last time it was called Which One is Bullshit. This time it's called Pick.
It's for benefit of new Grump. Listeners, and we had a new listener last week.
From Australia. I told you, around the world.
If you're new to the show, first off, congratulations. You've made a terrible mistake. But Mike, for the last week, he got a calendar
for
a 2014 calendar for Christmas.
Yeah, for Christmas.
It's one of those daily calendars. Every day, there's a list of three things. Two of them are bullshit. One of them's a fact.
No, two are facts. One's
bullshit. Two are facts and one is bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, when he got this calendar, I guess he thought, "Hey, my work for facts for the year is done."
Once, not my whole work. But I
can
third
just
of my
do
work.
This. If I do this and I print up a Wikipedia page. That I'm golden. I don't have to do anything else. And then he's, for the past 3 weeks, been trying to pass off what is not his content, but something he's stealing from a calendar as a game he created. Each week, the name of the game changes.
I didn't say I created the calendar, the questions.
It was fact or bullcrap the first week.
I made up the game, though.
Last week, it was headlines.
From breadlines to headlines.
I don't know what that even means.
From breadlines to headlines.
And this week, it's Stump the Grump. I'm the grump, apparently.
There are three different games, Eric.
I'm going to let this continue. If you are interested in being the new co-host of Facts, please send an email to Facts Corrections Podcast, factspodcastcorrections@gmail.com.
We're taking applications. If you're interested in taking my livelihood, bring it, you fucking scab. That's all I got to say.
He makes no money from this.
If you want to be a scab, I'll fucking kill you. That's all I'm going to say. Don't fuck with my livelihood. Okay?
Go ahead. Eric? I could...
You know what? Okay.
Let's stump the grump, motherfucker.
Nobody wants this job. It's my job. This is my life.
I don't think anyone wants it either, but I'm saying...
People are trying to take my life every day.
I'm just saying...
I'm tired of it.
You think you can do a better job than Mike?
You can't. Nobody can.
I'll have you in here for like a guest thing. I'm going to tell Mike about it. He'll find out about it.
How about this? If somebody thinks they could do better than Eric, get a hold of me. And I'll have you in as a guest, okay?
All right, I have all the equipment, so.
I have access to equipment, too. All right,
well, that's fine. If you think you can do better, try it, motherfucker.
You think you could do better?
Yeah, I do. Because I'm the glue holding this fucking show together.
I'm glue.
Fine.
I'm the paper that gets glued.
You do a fucking fax with someone. I'll do a fucking fax with someone. And we'll see. We will make it the same person. I don't know who. We'll find someone. I don't fucking need you for this shit. I'm saying that right now.
I don't think you mean that.
I do. I mean it. Anyone wants to do the show with me other than Mike, let me know, and we'll do it.
Anybody wants to do the show, let me know.
All right. We're throwing it out there. Gauntlet's thrown down. Do your fucking game.
Pink.
What about Pink?
It's color Pink.
Not the singer?
It's a topic.
I'm a big fan of Pink the singer.
We call our little fingers pinkies because... Now, you have to pick which one's bullshit, okay?
Yeah, I got you. You're trying to stump the ground. One of them is bullshit. One is true.
Yeah, we call our little fingers pinkies because with young children, the little finger is often the rosiest. Boop, boop. Okay, number two. Before the 1930s, it was commonly held in the U.S. that blue was for girls and pink was for boys. Number three.
Before what year?
1930.
Okay.
In the 17th century, if you sent your sheets to be dyed pink, you'd be very likely to get them back, bearing a rich shade of yellow.
What does that have to do with anything?
Which one's bullshit? One, two, or three?
Oh, I thought they were all about fingers. That middle one sounds bullshit to me.
It's a fact.
That's true?
Yeah. Pink, as a shade of red, was thought to be a bolder color, more suitable for masculinity. Blue, which was associated with the Virgin Mary, was thought to be soft and feminine. Hmm. Number one was the bullcrap. We get the word pinky from the Dutch word pink, which means little finger.
Okay, well see now, that's what I thought. But I had felt that blue and pink thing. It was weird. The fact that what made it sound made up was that you said 1932. Like, what? Why that year?
Right.
The Depression? I don't understand.
Oh.
And we still don't know. Because, again, you didn't research any of this. You just have a calendar.
And how about this one? The topic is the baboon. Which one is...
How many of these are you going to do?
This is it.
Okay.
Baboons are large, terrestrial monkeys with a dog-like muzzle, unlike many monkeys.
That's true.
That do not have a prehensile tail.
No, I don't think baboons don't have tails. No,
it's a fact.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyways, number two, the reason that many baboons have bright red butts is because of their aggregation disc, a large sensitive gland that regulates hormones in the primates' bodies. A baboon flashing its crimson rear end is a signal of aggression.
What's the other one?
In Egyptian mythology, Baby was a baboon god. Baby was bloodthirsty and a consumer of souls, and one of the gods of the underworld.
I think that last one's bullshit. I don't think they had
the last one is a fact.
Really?
Baby was the son of Osiris, god of the dead, and was said to devour souls of the unrighteous. Many ancient Egyptians believed that living baboons were actually dead ancestors. Number two was bullshit.
I didn't
think
they had baboons in Egypt.
I guess.
So the ass isn't a sign of aggression, though. It's like a mating thing, right?
When a baboon displays its backside, it is a sign of submission, not aggression.
Yeah, because you wouldn't display your backside for aggression. I should have been smart enough to figure that out. That's on me.
Okay, well, the grump has been stomped.
I didn't think they had baboons in Egypt.
You got one chance to redeem yourself? You've been stomped?
No, that's it. That's fine.
The Twinkie is the third.
You told me you'd do one more.
Right, right, one more right now.
Fuck you.
The Twinkie, okay? Number one, in 2010, as an example for his students, a nutritional professor at KSU went on a Twinkie diet for eight
weeks.
Kansas State?
Okay.
I just said KSU. Yeah. Went on a Twinkie diet for 8 weeks, eating only junk food items from a convenience store. He gained a whopping 27 pounds. Number two, former President Clinton is a fan of the Twinkie. He placed one inside the National Millennium Time Capsule, along literary works of William Faulkner and recordings of Louis Armstrong.
I hope that's not true.
And number three, a Twinkie's actual shelf life is 26 days. Which one is fact?
I know they say Twinkies last forever, but that's not true. So, 26 days,
that's a fact?
I would say that one's true.
Ding, you're right. You're okay. Right there.
What was the first one again?
About the Twinkie diet.
Yeah. I imagine would gain some weight with the Twinkie. I really want that second thing to not be true. Cause that's who puts a fucking Twinkie.
What are you saying for number two? Fact or fiction?
I'm saying that's bullshit.
It's a fact.
Ah, damn it.
Number one is bullshit. The Twinkie diet lasted 10 weeks. Professor Hobe actually lost 27 pounds.
But he's probably not getting enough nutrition.
The trick. Calorie counting. He limited himself to 1,800 calories a day. So he ate junk food, but only had that.
Yeah.
But the professor reached his ideal weight, and his bad cholesterol went down, and his good cholesterol went up. He ate Twinkies every day, as well as Nutty Bars, powdered donuts, and Doritos. That's so gross, man.
How could you
How could you do that to your body? Your body's a freaking temple.
I heard of someone doing something kind of similar after Super Size Me came out. They also only ate McDonald's for 30 days, but they kept the calorie count down, and they lost weight. So it's about how much you eat, not
exactly
what you eat. I mean that stuff's garbage, of course, but you know, have some vegetables or something. But also, don't
you really want to do facts with somebody else?
I'm open to the idea because I've really reached a point of frustration with you. All right, another fact. It's quick. I don't know. I want to wrap it up early because we're 57 minutes right now. I could shelve it for next week when I do it with whoever. I don't know. It's also about someone dying on TV, but it's not a suicide, so it doesn't really fit with the theme. So we'll just wrap the show up. I have a great number of things to plug. Not a great number. I got a couple things. Mike, I believe your show is Friday, correct?
Yeah.
Weirdos of Comedy?
Yeah.
That's at Grayland. I drove past Grayland the other day. I was downtown.
Yeah.
And it looks like an interesting place to do comedy. It's just a thrift store.
Yeah.
That'll be fun, I think.
Yeah.
That's this Friday, January 31st.
I'm not really motivated anymore. It just seems like I'm not really wanted.
And what time is the show?
9.
9 o'clock, Friday, January 31st. Weirdos of Comedy, that's at the Grayland Thrift Store downtown. It's on Boardman Avenue, kind of across from the City Hall building in Youngstown. It's not directly across from the Oakland like you said it was. It's down the street a little bit.
It's down the street.
Kind of by the City Hall building.
Yeah.
I will be at the Chuckle Fuck Open Mic in Redstone in Cleveland, February 4th. I believe that's at 9 o'clock show. Also, be doing Two Buck Yucks in Toledo, Ohio. That's at Blarney's. It's a pub across from the Fifth Third Field where the Mudhens play, downtown Toledo. I think that's a 9 o'clock show as well. AJ Georgie and Joe McCormick will be joining me. On February 23rd, I will be taping my DVD and CD at the Stone Tavern in Kent. That is at 6 o'clock. That's really looking forward to that. I want to get a lot of people out for that. It's kind of a culmination of my 4 years in the comedy. I guess it's a business. The comedy business at this point. It's a double. So the DVD is going to be me and Jerry Jaffe. Very funny comedian from...
He probably wants to do facts.
From Mentor.
Yeah.
Really from the Toledo area.
One of these.
The DVD, it's going to be a 30-30 DVD split.
Wannabes.
And we also both get CDs from that. So I'll be doing about 45 minutes. Jerry Jaffe will be doing, I think, about the same. But the DVD will be cut down to 30. But the CD will have the whole set. And also Tim Wolf and Anthony Savat are going to be performing on that as well. They're doing shorter sets. Savat's introducing Jaffe. Tim Wolf's going to be introducing me. So, come out for that. That's going to be great. That's at the Stone Tavern in Kent. It's right downtown. It's like the quarter east of Water Street. 6 o'clock, February 23rd. I got a whole another month to plug that, so you'll be hearing a lot about that. And then I'll be at the Funny Farm right here in Austintown, March 14th and 15th. I'll be featuring. And that's all I got right now. Any you got anything coming up? I already plugged Weirdos of Comedy.
Yeah.
Grayland.
Weirdos of Comedy at Grayland, 9 o'clock Friday. Be there. It's going to have a ton of great comedians. We got Devin Carter. Devin O'Connor.
Devin Connor's his name. It's no O. It's Devin Connor.
It was changed, I'm sure. I'm sure it was O'Connor, actually.
Maybe when the Connors came here from LSU.
I know a kid named David O'Connor. He's my friend.
Okay, but
and I'm sure Devin's related to him.
There's O'Connors and there's Connors.
Right, we'll just say his name's Devin Connor.
Because that is his name.
Right, and then Matthew Onesti. He's the son of
Marv Connor. See, Onesti.
He's half...
That's an O there.
That's half O is Irish and Onesti is Italian. He's half Irish, half Italian.
Okay.
So there's him, Johnny Diem.
You can get that from the name.
You.
I'm there. I'm gonna
Shane
be.
Herman, Tim Wolf, yeah. Joe McCormick, Ebony... Gordon?
Yeah. Now,
Ihala?
No, don't call her Ihala.
What's that mean?
It's her stage name. It's stupid. Don't call her that. When you,
I didn't know. It's you call, Ebony Ihala.
When you say, you're hosting the show, right?
Yeah.
When you say, here's this bitch, don't say Ihala, say Ebony.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't want to disrespect her.
Yeah. Don't. It's a dumb name. Her real name is Ebony. That's fine.
I don't understand it myself.
I don't even know what it means.
I don't know what it means. I don't know.
I don't know why she thinks she needs a dumb stage name to do comedy. She doesn't.
She doesn't. Nobody does. Nobody needs to have somebody come in and take their livelihood away from them. Nobody needs that.
You don't get paid for this. This is not your livelihood.
You don't get paid?
I just think we should podcast with other people, see what it's like. You know, if you love something, let it go, Mike.
Do we get to...
If it comes back...
Do we get to do it together again?
We'll see.
Maybe you could do one with somebody, I could do one with somebody, and then we should just see how it feels to try it again.
That's fine. Just want to try new things. And I don't want to be podcast with one person the rest of my life. I mean, I also do a podcast with Dave.
If it ain't broke, don't try to fix it.
Right? I think it's broke, and that's why I'm trying to fix it.
I don't.
I feel like this...
I mean, I want you to be happy. I mean, if you need
something... It's very frustrating to me dealing with you every week.
But
I think the facts concept...
I'll try.
...would work.
More... Well... I've learned my lesson.
With someone else.
Or is it too late?
I mean... That's...
I don't know.
Mike, I think it's time that you wrap up the show. So why don't you do your little inspiring speech, and then we'll cut it off.
Sometimes in life you're gonna meet a crossroad where, things get a little rough, and, people change, feelings change. And, when things are meant to be, they'll be. But when you really care about something, it's called having respect for somebody that you're with. And if they need space, you got to give them that space, okay? And if it's meant to be, it will be. So I don't know what's going to happen with the future, but I do know one thing. You're going to feel a lot better about yourself if you continue to use your brain. Use your brain!